January. I mean, I'm assuming that's what we would need to know.
I could get something from the builder to state that, as far as finishing out punch lists, et cetera.
Is that your argument, Tim? That on those units, that whatever point they were at is what they should be assessed at that time?
Yes. Yes, please.
What's been the, you have to jog my memory, but what is the principle that the assessor uses on something? You know, you go out in May and inspect a property and it's finished.
Oh, for occupancy?
But, well, and their argument is January 1st it was something else. I mean,
right, and we're an occupancy county, but typically we just get reports from the White River Electric. And
I can show you my electric bills didn't start until, you know, whenever. If that helped out of the builder's name.
What if we said tabled those three and said if you guys can work something out there,
table.
Possibly.
I think your bigger question that I'm hearing, or your bigger that you're bringing forward, is the value of the land, not the value of the actual structure, but the value of the land.
Mm-hmm.
So is that something you would be willing to show the assessor, just what was paid for the land, not for the cost of what you're building?
Anything. I don't want to give her anything.
Okay.
Like I said, there's a lot of sunk cost in excavating rock that should not be placed on a value for a potential buyer.
Yeah, and Tim, you understand we have to deal with what we have in front of us, so that's what we're concerned about right now. Is, I mean, we don't really have any real income numbers. We, for other properties in that area, I don't think the value that is down here for these, I'm not sure that we're seeing that is above market value. That the value on the assessment is what we're our concern is. I understand the argument, but I don't know that these are. Anyway, does the board have any other questions about that? I mean, follow up on what I'm saying.
I mean, a normal way of looking at these, it's 11 units. What would we? How would we?
Classification wise, he would get to, under our previous ruling, he would get to pick one property that they want to be, you know, I'm assuming that's the most expensive, the one in your name.
It's number 275.
That they would want on the 2575, and the rest would be commercial properties as a going business. Of course, we can't get into, as a board, we're just looking at valuation and classification and potential discrimination as well, but we can't get into whether the business is successful in the model, but certainly at the point where you have data to support an income approach or something like that, we can get into that kind of thing here on the board. But there are tons of people. Let's just say the people that got into the nightly rental market at the beginning have killed it, and at this point there is a huge amount of competition. So we've been hearing that.
And I get that. My big thing is I don't want to feel if I make a bad decision on a bad location and that's my bad. But I don't want to feel like I made the wrong decision by not buying across the street versus where I did solely based because the assessor's preference. Well, that is my big gripe.
And with respect to what's across the street, what's your response on that? I mean, why is there a big difference?
There's different neighborhoods. And some, you know, and we'll have sales data on some neighborhood and it will be at one price and on another. Just like anything, you know, in Branson Hills Estates is going to be a different price than if it's in Murphy Edition. People will pay more for Branson Hills Estates or Branson North than they will pay for Murphy Edition. And so, again, the assessor, we have to be, as you know, equalize things out in the neighborhoods. And so these subdivisions, when we determine a value, then that's why you see things running across, like all of these lots are similar. They can't build anything else on the lot. He's got his two-bedroom, what he says there's a two-bedroom unit on that lot, but other people on lots similar size have built two-story, three-story. You know, they're just going up.
Why is it that Trophy Run's improvement, just the building, you want to talk about just the building, is larger and $15,000 less, but I know it costs more because that costs more to do than mine, and you have the land, and first of all, there's some sketchy things on reclassifications from land to improvements, improvements to land on those, because at first it was $10,000 for the lot, and then she went back in 2 weeks ago and shifted it to $100,000 for the land and $52,000 for the improvements. So what gives on the two?
I can tell you that one right away.
Okay. Without getting into an argument, just present facts. What okay. happened?
When a developer buys land and we plat it out, typically Kathy will put $5,000 or $10,000 or whatever on each of those as a placeholder until we get the actual value. And then when they build something on it, then we will put the actual lot value for the neighborhood with buildings on it.
That's, in other words, that's the difference between vacant land and then built on land.
Yeah.
Good.
But the overall land value was the big driver on the difference, and the fact that that one net-net costs more than mine, better location. You want to talk about paying more for one neighborhood than the other. I don't believe that between the two neighborhoods. I think it was overlooked when they were assessing, and they just wanted to go after certain neighborhoods.
Yeah, really?
Sure.
I want to interject. You, the assessor here made a comment a minute ago about you had a choice on whether you build a large structure. There was not a choice because of the view obstruction. All they would allow was a single story. Small home that would fit on basically a postage stamp size lot.
A low profile roof.
It had to not interfere with any of the homes above it. And so there was a restriction. And so the builder could not do anything different than what we did. We tried to improve the value of that development some by providing an alternative. Every other home in that location is large. It's 5 to 12 bedroom, I think. What we tried to do, one of our opinions on this was, if we could put some small homes in there, it might also reduce crime in the off season, because that thing is a ghost town from September until May.
You mean doing actual lease, long-term leases, is that what you're talking about?
Well, with a smaller one, there's more traffic, more occupancy. People don't mind coming down to Branson.
Just the single family can come down mm-hmm. and stay, as opposed to when you gotcha. Go up on these big homes, gotcha. They take two or three or four families. So, and actually, I own one of these houses. There's 10 of them. Chris wanted to own all 10 of them, but he only got nine.
Okay.
I bought a small house there. My wife has Alzheimer's. Mm. I own the house right across the street from it. I built that house with special provisions in it so that we could occupy one and her caregiver could live right across the street from us.
Okay.
So we probably will be occupying that ourselves based on her health condition.
Well, I mean, if you have one that you have occupancy that's not in a nightly rental, I mean, rental doesn't apply. Okay, so I mean, that's different,
yeah.
but you just have to tell the assessor what you're doing with it. Yeah. So, okay, if it's not going to be online or whatever.
My protests are actually only 27.
Yeah, but your point is there was a restriction.
There was. These homes could not interfere with the view for the big homes up the hill.
So and that restriction came from the developer?
From the developer.
Can I ask when that restriction came in? I'm actually looking at the original brochure on these properties,
mm-hmm.
and everything mm-hmm. started at four bedrooms.
So that wasn't replatted until after all of that was built, and they were trying to figure out what they wanted to do. Originally, they had that whole row had houses on it, but as you build, you start to see sight lines, and they're like, we can't do it. So if you look at the original brochure, which I have, I could send you, that whole swath doesn't show any houses, no amenity, no nothing. It was just kind of
vague,
some tree imagery. And then we had such a good relationship with the builder. I said, well, I'm looking at buying in Trophy Run. What do you think? Because I did get in early on one of them. And so and we love Taney County.
And who's your builder?
Mark Still.
Mark Still.
So I talked to him. I asked him what his 2 cents are on Trophy Run. And I feel like there's a void in the market and this could help the greater good. I want to buy some 2 bedrooms. And he said, well, how many? And we kind of came up with it.
Okay. So.
But would not, 2 stories not happening on that stretch.
You couldn't put anything above ground level behind these houses.
Okay. Are you interested?
I'm not contesting the fact that they're saying that that was all that would be allowed. I'm saying the original plans that are in front of me started at 4 bedrooms.
So in order to consider that, we need to see it probably. See that restriction, something like that.
I would think so.
Would it make a difference to you to see that restriction for lot purposes?
I mean, I don't think that's going to change the value of the lot, which is what he's saying he's contesting. Whether it's a 2-bedroom or a 4-bedroom, I mean, it's still the same function of the property. Yeah, it's the land.
If we had an appraisal or some other mm-hmm. opinions that the value is less, you know.
Tim,
yes.
from our standpoint, I mean, we're just obviously we're doing the best we can with the citizen board here. We're trying to come up with, but without some more evidence, we're concerned at least on the ones other than the argument you made on the half finish that we can get a value below what the assessor has here. Do you have any interest, or does your client have any interest in obtaining some sort of appraisal? It'd be short notice.
If we do, the problem is to get an appraisal would take at least 6 to 9 weeks.
Yeah.
Given how backed up the appraisers are, so as a practical matter, in the appeal just to the BOE, it is not possible to get an appraisal in such a short period of time.
I mean, certainly it's a de novo appeal when you go up to the tax commission, pretty much.
Yes.
So that could happen. All right. Any other comments from the board right now?
I would say on the 3 that were incomplete, that we could possibly do something on those. On the others.
Is there any time that anybody's going to have on the 3 that were incomplete, or can we get information on those? Or Tim, can you provide information on those as to where they were on January 1?
At the moment, I don't have any.
I know at the moment you can. I'm asking if we were to table it.
Because what I have is pictures,
which
is proof, and by Urban Electric.
His electric bills would show when they went into operation.
Yeah, the electric bill would probably show. I mean, that
would be an easy fix.
Once they turn it on, it's ready to go.
But it wouldn't help us what was done on January 1, but maybe the builder could help out on that or something. I don't know. Tim, do you see any value in tabling those 3 at least?
I do think so, yes. If we can pin down more precisely when they actually were completed, I do think that would be helpful.
Which ones are they?
I believe the list was 201, 217, and 227. Is that?
That's the address, I believe.
It's BOE 239, 256, and 267.
239. 266
and 267.
266
and 67? Correct.
Okay. Okay, and Chris, which property... You have one BOE 272, which is you and your wife, I assume.
Yeah, you're talking about the 7525.
The larger units.
Yeah, I'd like that one be 250 Branson Cove Boulevard is the address.
It was number 275 for his BOE.
275.
So 160 and what?
It says 4804 West 140.
That's my mailing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's With the understanding of what we've been doing with classification, mm-hmm. this is the one, BOE 275 would be the one that you would be